Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, and I wanted to talk to you about risk factors for breast cancer. So if you've been diagnosed with breast cancer, you may wonder, why me? And I think that we never know with certainty for an individual why she got breast cancer or he got breast cancer. But what we do know is that there are risk factors, things that can increase the probability of getting the disease. So let's conveniently divide risk factors into two categories. The first category are non-modifiable risk factors. These are ones that we don't have much control over. And the second category, you won't be surprised, is modifiable risk factors. These include things that pertain to the hormones estrogen and progesterone. So let's start in the fixed category. And one of the ones that we often don't think about is age. Age is a huge risk factor for breast cancer, and I just wanted to share with you some of the age-specific 10-year probabilities of breast cancer. That is, if, for example, a woman is 20, what are the odds in America that she would get breast cancer over the next 10 years? It's actually remarkably low at just under 1 in 1,500. By 30, that risk goes up to about 1 in 200, and we're going to see it march up from there. A 40-year-old, 1.5%. A 50-year-old, 2.4%. And if you're 60, 3.5% chance you will get breast cancer over the next 10 years if you're at average risk for getting the disease. A 70-year-old, 4.1%, or about 1 in 25. And an 80-year-old, 1 in 33, or about 3% will get breast cancer and 1% will die of the disease over the next 10 years. So when we look at lifetime risks, the risk in America is about 1 in 8 or roughly 12.8%, and the risk of dying is about 1 in 39 or 2.6%. So that's aging. The second risk factor is being a female. Even though we men can get breast cancer, about a 99% of cases will be among women. The third risk factor is vitamin D. So we know that those with low levels of vitamin D have a higher probability of getting breast cancer and colon cancer and heart attack and stroke, diabetes, a host of things. But we have no evidence that taking vitamin D can actually modify those risks for folks that have relatively normal levels. Next up, geography. So we know first world countries have higher risk than, say, third world countries in general. In fact, the highest risk in the world is among Belgian women. But we see high risks among Americans and Canadians and Germans. On the other hand, we see particularly low risks among Koreans, rural Chinese, followed by urban Chinese, and Japanese, who have about a 3% risk. So geography matters. We don't think it's race per se. And what I mean by that, if I take that Chinese woman with a 1 to 2% probability of getting breast cancer and I move her to the United States, her risk actually begins to approach that of an American who's been here for a longer period of time. And her children have a risk that's not dissimilar, say, from my children. Finally, we turn to inherited genetics. And while you may think that this is a primary driver for the majority of patients with breast cancer, it's not. Perhaps 10 to 15% of patients will have a first-degree relative, such as a mother or sister or daughter who has breast cancer or has a strong propensity because of a concerning genetic mutation, such as in the breast cancer gene, BRCA1, BRCA2, CHEK2 mutations, PALB2, there's a bunch of alphabet letters I can throw at you that represent inherited genetic problems that put a woman at high risk. But most women actually don't have known genetic mutations putting them at high risk. So let's move on to so-called modifiable risk factors. And I begin with hormone replacement therapy. So you can imagine that if some cancers are eating estrogen or progesterone, we might increase the risk by giving a woman those hormones. Well, it turns out that it's not quite so simple. Even though in the early 2000s, we heard that hormone replacement therapy is horrible, increases risk of breast cancer and heart attack and stroke and a host of other things, what we now know is that, at least for the first decade or so, pure estrogen by itself actually decreases the risk of breast cancer. Estrogen and progesterone in combination, however, increase risk. And so I think the idea of hormonal replacement therapy has to be revisited, but it needs to be talked about with someone who really knows the data. What's your personal risk of breast cancer? How much would you be increasing your risk if you were on estrogen and progesterone in combination? Just note that we typically don't give estrogen alone for those who have an intact uterus. Next up is weight. So weight is an odd thing. We actually would prefer for you to be overweight or obese and become thin after menopause. So it turns out that women who have extra poundage before menopause actually have a lower probability of getting breast cancer, whereas after menopause, the risk goes up. For the latter, I think we can think about it in these terms. Fat cells make estrogen and progesterone, female hormones, quote unquote. And so if you gain weight after menopause, then the risk of breast cancer goes up. Now, before menopause, people with extra weight often have fewer menstrual cycles. So that brings us to the next risk factor, the number of menstrual cycles. So for example, if you start early for menarche, the onset of menstrual period, say at 10, 11, 12, your risk is going to be higher of getting breast cancer. If you stop late, say 55, the average being 50 or later than 55, your risk will go up of getting breast cancer. And so that's not a modifiable risk factor, but it is related to estrogen and progesterone, so-called female hormones. Alcohol raises risk. To be frank with you, with respect to cancer in general, the American Cancer Society now says there's no completely safe dose. Although there's a nice study out of Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center by my colleague, Dr. Christopher Lee, that did not identify alcohol as increasing the probability of a recurrence for those who already have breast cancer. But the caveat is that if you're going to drink, that you should keep it to one standard drink per day on average, two for men, to not increase your risk of breast cancer and other problems. Next up is diet. Not a lot of data on diet, to be honest with you. We have an American study. We have a Spanish study that hints at a lower fat or Mediterranean diet is changing risk. But I'm unimpressed with the magnitude of the reduction in risk. Still, though, a healthy diet. We know that the vast majority of women with breast cancer are going to be survivors, so we should care about your heart and stroke risk. So healthy diet, good idea. Cigarette smoking increases risk of breast cancer because it increases the risk of virtually everything. And we'll end with sleep. So you won't see this listed on many risk factor lists for breast cancer, but we know that if you get inadequate sleep, say less than 7 hours per day on average, you're more likely to get a host of problems, including breast cancer, cancer in general, diabetes, obesity. The list is actually pretty long. And so I would pay attention to sleep as a risk factor for a number of diseases. The final thing that I should mention is that we think that some breast cancers are simply chance, random chance, nothing you did, but there's a genetic mutation in the wrong spot that turns off the stop sign for cell division, and voila, we have breast cancer. So I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, and I want to thank you for joining me in this exploration of the risk factors for breast cancer. See you soon.